Last week, we were speaking about the power of words. Do you know that your words carry power? And we went over, I'm going to spend just 2 minutes going over it. We went over Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that said, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through Jesus, who he has appointed heir over all things, through whom he made the worlds. So God made the worlds through Jesus, so Jesus has tremendous power. So if you want to have a powerful person in your life, get Jesus in your life, because he sustains the worlds by the power of his might. And then it goes on to say here, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So Jesus has tremendous power in his word. And if we speak the words of Jesus, those words carry power. So whatever situation you are facing, speak God's word into that situation, and God's power will go into that situation, and that situation will change. If you want to change your situation, speak God's word over that situation. So what words are you speaking? We went over that. So I want to encourage you to listen to last week's sermon. I encourage you guys to watch what you say. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. Then you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. But if you confess I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm good looking, I'm my boss's favorite staff member, I'm the hardest worker in this organization, I have the most incredible ideas for my company, I have this, I have that. The Bible says you will have whatever you say. So what are you saying? Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So those who love speaking death will have death in their life. Those that love speaking God's word over your situation, even if your situation is contrary to what you're saying. Don't speak about how bad things are. We know how bad things are. Speak about how God's word is going to change your situation. Amen. Then we spoke about what words should we be speaking to the Lord. What words must you speak over your own life? What words do I speak about others? Those others are our family members, our husbands, wife, your mom, your mother-in-law. Mother-in-laws get a bad rap, right? Your I have the greatest mother-in-law. I get on with my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is awesome, and I actually do have an amazing mother-in-law. I'm speaking about you guys. I know some of you don't have the best mother-in-laws. What words do you speak to the devil? We rebuke the devil. Satan, I rebuke you. Take your hands off my health. Satan, I rebuke you. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my child. Take your hands off my health. Take your hands off my mental state of mind. Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus carries power. When you rebuke the devil, he gets nervous. It's like, imagine your uncle is the head of the mafia, and someone walks into your store, like one of these little gangs, and they start harassing you, and you say, guys, you better get out of here, or I'm going to call my Uncle Guido, the head of the Colombo crime family. I'm so sorry. Here's our money. Take it. Because you're using the right name. You got to use the right name, the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So that was just a recap of last week's message, which leads me into what I want to say today. Is that once you're doing those things, once you're speaking all those good things, you must carry on speaking those things. You need to hold on to your confession. Say, hold on. Hebrews 10, verses 10, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He'll never let you down. People will let you down. The government may let you down. Your best friend may let you down, but God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never let you down. Hebrews 10, 19, let's recap. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. How do we have boldness to approach God? Because he's my Father. I approach God not based on my good works. I approach God based on what Jesus, my Messiah, did on the cross. His blood took my sins away. I am righteous because of Jesus. I can approach God because of what Jesus did for me. I can have that boldness. When you and I look at some of the most powerful people in the world, we would be a little bit nervous to approach them. Okay? Maybe some of us. But now you take that person's kid who's 4 years old. They don't know their father's the most ruthless dictator on planet Earth. They don't know their father's the head of the mafia and has killed 27 people with his bare hands. They don't know their father's the richest man on earth. When they see daddy, they run to daddy, and daddy may even do the diapers. But no, daddy will never show that he's doing the diapers. He doesn't want to ruin his reputation. I do diapers, by the way. Not Cody and Zach, Liam. Thought I'd disqualify. So we can have that boldness to approach God. And then it goes on to say here, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated, means he set that mechanism apart that we can approach him by the blood of Jesus. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water. Let us hold fast the confession. What is that confession? What is that thing that you're speaking over your life, over your daughter, over your son, over your mind, over your finances, over your health, over your future? What are you saying about yourself? He's encouraging us here to not waver, for he who promised is faithful. It may not happen today, but I have an expectation. My miracle is in motion. My miracle is around the corner because God promised it, because it's in his word. It's in his word that I'm healed and healthy. It's in his word that I'm blessed and highly favored. It's in his word that I'm more than a conqueror. It's in his word. And then it says here in Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We got to hold on to those promises. Hold on for dear life. Hold on, don't let go. Don't give up just before your breakthrough. Hold on. Let's imagine you're on a roller coaster and God forbid your kid's belt snaps while you're going up and you know the kid's going to fly. You're going to grab hold of your child and you're going to hold on for dear life. No matter how many loops you do, no matter how much screaming, you know you can't let go because you know in 4 minutes' time you're going to slow down and the ride's going to come to an end. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't camp in hell. Keep walking through hell. Keep trusting in Jesus. And you know what my saving grace is? I've read the back of the book. We win. We win. If you didn't have legs on earth, guess what? We're going to trust that your legs will grow out. But you know what? In heaven, you have legs. In heaven, you have eyes. In heaven, you have perfect hearing. In heaven, guys, we have our six packs back. In heaven, we have beautiful wavy hair. In heaven, we have a glorified body. Woo! Honey, I'm going to get a glorified body. I'm going to get my six pack back. So we keep believing on earth for those miracles of healing and everything. And we keep holding on. But let's just say in some areas we don't have the full manifestation of what we're believing for. In heaven we do. So don't miss out on heaven. You can mess up on earth, but don't mess up trusting that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let me tell you, he's the only way to heaven. Listen to this Jewish boy. I've done my due diligence. It cost me my family fortune because my uncle was a mega wealthy guy. And I was the potential successor of his empire. But when I received Jesus, it was over. So guess what? For 9 months, I did my homework. Is Jesus really, 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 Jared? Millions and millions. Is he really, really? Let me tell you, Jesus is worth everyone cutting you off. He's worth it if they drop you in Timbuktu or somewhere in Afghanistan with only your clothes on. He's worth it. So if you miss a few areas in life, don't miss trusting in Jesus for your salvation. Amen. Now, here's some advice to hold on to your confession. Number one, realize that what you say determines your outcome. So what are you saying? That's why the Bible says, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. You want to say it, especially us married people. How many times do we put our foot in it? You know that expression? Don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, but we say it. Because we want to win the battle. We want to win. Because, guys, we winners, amen? And we think we're winning by... But someone said, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Proverbs 18:21, death and life in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So realize that what you say determines your outcome. Mark 11:22, we've shared it many times over the years. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, we're speaking about what comes out of our mouth. Whoever says to this mountain, so what mountain is in your way? Depression, anxiety, lack, financial pressure, marital pressures, whatever your mountain is, the Bible says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It sounds a bit repetitive. He says, he says, he says. Next verse. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Can I have some water, please? And you will have them. So what he's trying to say to us is we need to speak to the mountain. You need to ask. You need to speak. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask not. You need to learn how to become a master asker. And then it says, yeah, whatever things you ask for, do you like my American accent? Whatever things you ask for, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. When do you receive them? When they come? When you ask. Because you have that confidence that you have a high priest next to God, and whatever you ask according to his will, according to his word, will be done. So when you ask a powerful person for something and they agree, you trust that they will deliver. You're on the line with Elon Musk. Elon, we got this great project. We need 10 million. How much would you like to give towards a project? I'll give the 10 million. I'll have it by you next Friday. Are you calling Elon on Monday? Elon, you know, you did promise you're going to give us the money. Tuesday, hey, Elon. Wednesday, hey, Elon. You're going to irritate Elon. When he said, I'll give you the money by Friday, the money's as good as in the bank, when he said he'll give it to you, because he has the means. So whatever you ask God, according to his will, and we know what his will is because we get it from his word, it's as good as done. So what we're speaking about today is hold fast to your confession of faith. What is that confession of faith? Whatever you trust in for, whatever you believe in for. It may not have manifested in the natural, but you are trusting the person that has the power to deliver that thing to you, because that person has incredible integrity. That person has the means to back it up. So whoever comes to God must come to God in faith. Number two, having confidence in what you ask for. 1 John 5:14. Now this is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it will be done. So what's his will for your life? What's he called you to do? Has he called you to start a business? Has he called you to pursue a career in music, in entertainment, in politics, in education, in the business community? This is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask according to his will. So once you know his will for your life, you can have the confidence to go to him for something, or to trust him for things to manifest in your life according to his will for your life. You see, I can trust God to win a Grammy singing award, but if I can't sing, is that really his will for me? So let me find out what God's will for me is. I know what God's will for Amanda is. Will. Find out what God's will for you is. And then it's easy to have faith in him for that thing to come to you. You know, when I started Save the World Foundation in South Africa, by God's amazing grace, a businessman came to me literally like maybe a week before we actually launched out and started our ministry, and said, hey, I'm buying a house and you can have the house 5 years rent free. So it was a 3-bedroom house. So we had the 3 bedrooms, the lounge, the kitchen, the garage. So that's what we used as our team, our ministry base. Some of the team members lived in the rooms, but we had some rooms as offices, and it was an amazing situation. And then at the end of 5 years, we needed a ministry property. So I've shared the story before. I had a fundraising event. It cost 2.2 million rand, which back then was maybe $220,000. This is 15 years ago. So I had a fundraising event and I shared the vision. This is the ministry property. And please, would you sow into it? And I invited all my friends that were doing well in life and well in business. I needed to raise $220,000. You know how much I raised on the night? How much? Guess. Shout it out. I can't hear you. $500. I thought I'm the worst Jewish fundraiser in the history. My family already think I've lost my mind believing in Jesus. Now they're going to say, you're clearly not Jewish. Because, I mean, you're trying to raise $220,000 and $500 comes in. But my one friend was there and he was working on a deal. And a few weeks later, maybe a week or two later, he said, hey, are you free for breakfast? And we've been friends for many years. He said, I'm working on a deal. If I crack this deal, I'm going to sow, it was maybe 40 or 50,000 into the property. And I said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow, that's amazing. And then a few months later, he said, are you free to meet again? And we were friends. I mean, yeah, sure, let's meet up. And listen, I'm so close to cracking this deal. If I crack the deal, I haven't forgotten. I'm going to sow 20,000 into this. I'm like, you know I'm Jewish, right? I don't forget promises. You said 40,000. But I kept my mouth shut. And then the person who owned the property, who was actually a friend of mine who moved to America, and he wanted to get rid of the property in Four Ways in Johannesburg. So my friend calls me and he says, Jared, I cracked the deal. I'm buying the whole property cash for you. So now, did that thing just happen? No. Before, when my friend said, listen, you have to move out of your property, the property you've been in for 5 years rent-free, who did I go to? The Lord. Lord, we need a property. I'm standing in faith for a property that our ministry can move into, that we can do all our outreaches from. I believe I received this property in Jesus' name. So now who did I go to? I went to God. What did God do? He sent out his angels. He started to move on people's hearts. Maybe he moved on candidate number one. He was telling them, you can buy the property. Why don't you buy the property? Candidate number two, why don't you help? Why don't you? Candidate number three, candidate number four. I'm sure he was, any one of those people at that meal could have bought the property. But I wasn't even thinking one person's going to buy it. I'm like, if you guys all put in, we can at least put down a hefty deposit. But God was moving on one. And God touched that one to give. So what was my job? My job was to trust the Lord and to stand in faith. And I look to the Lord as my source. And when you look to the Lord as your source, the Lord will touch who he needs to touch to get something to you, according to what he's called you to do. So you may need to study to get knowledge on a certain thing in life to position you for your career. Go to the Lord and the Lord will touch someone or the Lord will give you favor to enroll in that course, to study, to do what he's called you to do. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. That's in 1 John 5. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you need to be Spirit-led to what the Lord has called you to do, to stand in faith for that. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and great and find grace to help us in time of need. Number three, take negative and evil thoughts captive. When God tells you what to do, and you now need faith to do what he's called you to do, the enemy, the devil, is going to come and say, who do you think you are? Why would God want to use you? There are people much more educated than you, and you're going to attempt to do this thing? There are people that have many, many more experience or connections. Surely God's going to use one of them. Who do you think you are? And many people get talked out of doing what God has told them to do because they look at their own ability. But God's not just looking for ability, he's looking for availability. And sometimes God will use someone who has less experience or less know-how, yet they're willing to work hard, they're willing to stand in faith because God knows when that thing happens, they're going to give glory to him. Satan will attack your dreams. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your marriage. He'll attack your children. It's war for him. This isn't fun and games. Satan is out to get you. I'm warning you. He's out to get you. And if he can't get to you, he'll work on your spouse, or he'll try to get to your kids, or he'll try to use people to come against you. So you need to be aware that there's an enemy out there that's out to get you. That's why when things come against you, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That's why we need to plead the blood of Jesus. Every day when I get the boys in the car and we go to school or wherever I'm taking them, I plead the blood. Lord, I plead most days, I plead the blood of Jesus over you, over this car. I plead the blood of Jesus over Eternity Church members, Save the World Foundation partners, family, friends. Thank you, Lord, that no one will be in an accident today. We need to also pray for each other. Amen. He wants you to believe the lie. You can read Genesis 3 by yourself. And then 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes the biggest enemy is the thoughts that come into our minds. Yes, that sometimes people may betray you, they may let you down, your boss may fire you, things don't turn out well, but the biggest enemy is the thoughts that come into the mind. Even watching the US Open this, I was like, okay, this guy's playing the top three or four guy in the world. He's two sets to love out. Like, I don't bet, but before I was following Jesus, I used to run the betting, and I would say, I would bet my house this guy's going to lose. He's two sets to love up against the top guy. He will find a way to lose because 9.9 times out of 10, the guy that's two sets to love up against the top guy can't believe that he's two sets to love up against the top guy. And either he's going to relax or he's going to change his game. What was making him win, he's going to pull back and he's now going to become defensive. You all remember when Boris Becker won Wimbledon? Do you remember? He was 17 years old and he won Wimbledon. When he shares the story, he had to go to his principal and say, sir, there's a tournament in England. It's called Wimbledon. The guy's like, what? Can I please get off school to go and enter the tournament? He got permission to go. and he ends up winning Wimbledon. And when he goes back to school, there were like thousands of people there. The principal couldn't understand what's happening. No, sir, I actually won the tournament. And like the guy knew nothing about tennis. But the guy that he played in the finals was a South African by the name of Kevin Curran. And I listened to Kevin Curran's interview like 2 weeks ago. I just came across it. And they said to him, how did you lose to Boris Becker? In the quarterfinals, you beat, like, I don't know if it was McEnroe. In the semifinals, you beat Edberg. You beat all these top guys. How did you lose to the 17-year-old? He said, you know what? What got me to the finals was I was being aggressive. I was going for my shots. I was attacking. But when I got to the finals, I didn't want to lose. So I didn't go for it. I was more defensive. I changed my tactic in that situation. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to change our tactics. So he comes and he messes with your mind. All this speaking about, I confess and I plead the blood and I rebuke you, Satan. Are you crazy? We're in the 21st century. What are you talking about? That pastor, he's off his rocker. That pastor, what are you doing? Rather go to a more normal church. So the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. So when Satan attacks, we speak the word. How do we know that? Because can you believe the audacity? Not only did Satan rebel against God with a third of the angels in heaven, how crazy was that? But when Jesus physically comes to earth and he's in the wilderness, Satan went to Jesus again. It's called the temptation in the wilderness. And I'm going to end with this. Matthew 4, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who led Jesus to be tempted? The Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's good to know what's in you. And you only know what's in you when you're under pressure, when you're being tested. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, how many? We normally do 21, right? Should we go for 40? I'm just joking. You guys are too radical even for me. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. The devil was so smart. He never went to him on day 8, day 10, day 12. He waited until he sensed he's a little bit weak. Satan has been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. He's going to go to you when you're weak and say, now, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? He went to Jesus. Think of his audacity, right? If you are the Son of God, I mean, is that not the greatest insult? He's looking at Jesus and the audacity, the mental, this was like Satan's the most cunning being that's ever existed. So if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written. He fought fire with fire. He went to the word and he spoke the word to Satan. So when you are being tested, tempted by the devil, and you're feeling overwhelmed, take God's word and throw it in the devil's face. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then Satan took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle in the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, so now he's using scripture to deceive Satan. That's where all the cults come in. Some of them even call themselves the church. If you want to poison a dog, do you leave some poison in a bowl? Come, little boy, come, drink, drink, drink. Or do you put the poison in some steak? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. So Satan had the power that Adam lost. Adam lost his dominion over the earth. And when he lost that dominion, it was given to Satan. So Satan, it wouldn't have been a real temptation unless Satan really had the power of all the kingdoms of the earth. So he had it to give. That's why it's important to know that there are two kingdoms operating in the world today. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God and Satan's kingdom. There's God's kingdom and what's even called the Babylonian system, which is the world system. How the corporations and the not good political class are operating, they've been manipulated by the evil one. So Satan was tempting Jesus and saying, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you this power. Do you know that Satan is still giving power to people today in politics, in entertainment? If you will bow down and follow me and worship me and do my bidding, I will make you famous. People will worship you by the millions. You will have power on earth. And some of them know it's really him, but some of them thoughts come in their mind. If you will do this, you'll get that. If you hook up with that guy, he'll give you that. If you compromise over here, you'll get power over there. And they think they can play the game. Satan is... Have you all seen The Matrix? Remember with Keanu Reeves, who I think is the most amazing actor? But what, there was Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith was, and then what was Keanu Reeves' name in The Matrix? Neo. So Neo, now in The Matrix, remember things are happening so quickly, but then they slow it down and they show you how they're really fighting. But in true fashion, they're fighting so quickly. Satan is operating at that quick pace. He knows what's going to happen. He can see all the moves. He's already set traps. He's done this. He's manipulating over there. And people think they can fight Neo or Mr. Smith. They haven't got a chance if they compromise to join that system. So what you've got to do in life, you've got to say bye-bye to that system and come into God's system. Come into God's kingdom. First and foremost, making Jesus the Lord of your life. Not just Savior, but Lord. Some people are a fan of Jesus. He's a great guy. He's the Messiah. I believe in him. But is he the Lord of your life? Does he dominate every area of your life? And many of us, myself included, maybe there are one or two rooms in our house. We don't want Jesus in there. He wants to come in there. But no, that's my hobby. I have a life. It's my life. he wants to come in. Then it says here, Jesus said to him, away from you, Satan, away with you. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. He was hungry. He'd resisted the devil, but there was a sweet victory after he'd passed those tests. Sometimes God will test you. God won't tempt you with evil, but God will test you. And God's major test is, I'm going to give you one, and if you're faithful with the one, I'll give you two. If you're faithful with the two, I'll give you three. If you're faithful with the three, I'll give you five extra. Now you're managing eight. If you look after one customer, I'm going to give you two. If you look after the two customers, I'm going to give you four. If you're a business person, if you're faithful with one location, I'm going to use you to open two locations. If you're faithful with those two locations and you can handle those two locations and it's my will and you're doing a good job, you can open your third. So that's how God tests, but the devil tempts with evil. So just know whenever evil thoughts come in your mind, it's the devil. Whenever people try to lie or con you or lay traps, it's the devil. But let's be like Jesus. Even though we're in the wilderness, the valley of temptation, the valley of evil, you're up against Goliath. None of the brothers want to fight Goliath. It looks like you're the only one in your company. You're the only one in your house that wants to follow Jesus. You're the only Christian in your work that follows the Lord. God has planted you there because he's going to use you to set the captives free. He's going to use you to lead your brothers to the Lord. He's going to use you to bring freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. So it all comes down to the word, the word, the word. Knowing the word and speaking the word. Knowing the word, speaking the word. Knowing the word, speaking the word. Knowing the word, speaking the word. If you don't know what your rights are, you're just going to be a doormat to the devil. So how do we know what our rights are? We need to read the word, study the word, know the word. And let me just encourage you with this. Whatever you're going through, let's just say it's your health or you're struggling with depression or you're under financial attack or your marriage or your kids, do research on that situation. Get 5, 10, 15 scriptures about that situation. Read them, just those 10 scriptures. Read them over and over and over and over and over and over. And over and over and over. This one ultra marathon runner said when he first heard the Rocky song, he says he was so inspired by that song, he had it on repeat for the whole marathon. Get those, speak those scriptures. Put it on your phone and click repeat and listen to them over and over and over. Do a YouTube search, do a social media search on that subject. I've listened to some sermons literally for a month. Every day I'm listening to the exact same sermon over and over and over until I pretty much can preach that sermon over and over and over. What am I doing? Faith comes by hearing. I need some convincing. I know it says it in the Bible, but I'm on like 97.2% convinced. I need some more convincing, and I listen to it over and over. It's called brainwashing. The Bible calls that renewing the mind. Renewing is the same word as renovation. We need a renovation in our brain because there are chains in the brain that need to be broken and rebuilt. We all love watching those cooking channels and those renovation channels. And the two guys will come in and you like, oy vey, like, this looks like a hopeless situation. And by the end of the show, they've stripped things down. You see them smashing things. You think, oy vey, how are they going to pull this off? And at the end, it looks beautiful. That's what the Lord wants to do in our brains. Sometimes we got to put a sledgehammer to some of the ideologies we have, some of the idols we have. Sports can be an idol. Music can be an idol. There's a funny South African comedian, and he's just so funny. I don't respect him anymore because he's gone woke. But he's so funny saying the greatest fans are the Americans. Because other parts of the world, they'll know generally about that sports team, and they'll kind of maybe know most of the players on that team. But he said the American sports people, and I can't even imitate how he did it, they know everything about that player. That player, he went to that college. This is how much he scored. He was recruited. He was traded. I mean, just the average sports fan knows so much about sports. Imagine we knew that much about the word. That same passion we put into our sports, and I'm guilty at times, imagine we took that same passion and the kids, we don't want to look at the kids, but the kids, imagine that same amount of time they spent on their video games. Seven hours later, imagine they took one of those 7 hours and read the Bible or practiced the piano or wrote a letter or did something, how great they would be. So all of us, we need to go to the next level. I want to go to the next level. I want the Lord to help me to go to the next level. Desperately. Because when you're in God's kingdom is, it's a kingdom of promotion. It's a kingdom of, you know what? You've been so good at doing this, I'm going to double it up and give you more. I trust you with more. But sometimes we get comfortable. I remember in Save the World Foundation, we had two teams. I was so comfortable, two teams. And then the Lord says, start team number three. Okay. And then you're comfortable with three. Then he says, start a fourth. Lord, we don't have the money for the fourth. And now you got four. Now you got five. Now you got six. And we want to have hundreds. So unless I'm faithful with the six, which I'm being faithful now, how's he going to give me four more? And then when I'm faithful with 10, he's going to give me five more to be responsible for five more teams reaching more kids in schools. It's the same thing with you. He wants to take you to the next level. Do you want to go to the next level? Or do you want to stay? If you want to stay at this level, it's okay. You're going to go to heaven if you believe in Jesus. It's okay. But whatever you were meant to do, he's going to give that responsibility to someone else. And there are rewards in heaven, okay? I don't quite know how he's going to do it, but he's definitely, there are going to be rewards in heaven. I want the Lord to say to me, well done, Jared. You were an overachiever. We didn't expect all of this from you. We're going to be honest with you. Or maybe the Lord will say, no, I believed in you. But some of the other guys in heaven, maybe some of Joseph's brothers, you know, we were checking you out. We thought, I don't know why the Lord chose this guy. Maybe the Lord sees something I don't. Remember, we're doing it for the Lord. And the Lord, when he puts his super on your natural, you'll do supernatural things. Just be available. And the Lord will speak to you to do something. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us the most powerful force in existence, your word, your Bible, available to all of us in hard copy, on devices. We have access to it, Lord. We can listen to it in our car. Lord, help us to be disciplined in reading your word. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here today, those that are even watching on social media, on TV. Lord, help us to get knowledge. And Lord, I pray that as people are reading your word, the Logos word, the written word, you will touch us by your Holy Spirit, and that Logos word will become Rhema word. It will become revelation. We'll read your promises, and we won't even be able to read more than a sentence without screaming and rejoicing at all the amazing promises that you have for us. And you've given us this tool, Lord, that says that we must speak to the mountain. We must confess your word over our situation, and you, with your power, will reverse that situation. No matter how hopeless that situation looks, we will not look at the situation, we will not look at the people involved, but we will look to you as the source, because ultimately you are the one responsible for changing that situation, Lord. Lord, we don't always understand why we go through these things, why our children go through things, why people we know go through things. We read reports. It breaks our heart, Lord. And we know that there's an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Lord, I thank you that we can fight the good fight of faith by speaking your word over our situation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that you sent your word to deliver us. You sent your word to heal us. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. People loved Jesus. They loved being around him. They love listening to his teachings, listening to his stories. People fell in love with Jesus, but there were enemies that hated him. They conspired against him, and they had him crucified. The most vicious form of torture, nails going through his hands and his feet, whipped on the back 39 times, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, spat on. He went through all of that for you. But something amazing happened on the third day. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive. Our Savior is alive, and he's knocking at the door of your heart right now, saying, come to me, and I will give you peace. Come to me, and I'll give you joy. I'll give you the love no human can give. No family member, not even your spouse, not even your kids. There is a God-shaped vacuum in your heart that I put there that only I can fill. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. Even if you were the only person on earth, he would have done it just for you. That's how beautiful and amazing and precious you are to him. And maybe for some of you, you used to follow Jesus, you used to live for him, but maybe you've taken your eyes off him, or You've stopped following him. Maybe people have hurt you, abused you, taken advantage of you. You may have turned your back on him, but he's never turned his back on you. His word says, I'm forever married to the backslider. But today it's time to slide back to Jesus. Repentance means I was going in that direction, but I can see now, and I turn around 180 degrees, and I've now followed Jesus. Maybe that's you. You can recommit your life to him. Or maybe you've never received Jesus. You didn't know how much he loves you, how he died for you. But today you want to receive him. And while everyone's eyes are closed, no one looking around, even you guys that are watching on TV, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose from the dead and he's alive, and you want to give your life to him, I want you to quickly put up your hand. No one's looking around. This is a personal moment between you and him. Just raise your hands if you want Jesus to come into your life. Now, while everyone's eyes are closed, even if you didn't put up your hand, you can pray this prayer to receive Jesus. Let's all pray together. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried, and on the third day, you rose from the dead, and you are alive. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap for Jesus. Amen.